Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried. And there was no water for the congregation. Now remember, we've got about 4 million people and all these herds and all these flocks, and no water for them either. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people chode with Moses and spake, saying, "Would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. And why have you brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there? And wherefore have you made us come up out of Egypt to bring us in unto this evil place? It is no place of seed, or of figs, or of vines, or of pomegranates, neither is there any water to drink." And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "Take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou, Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water. And thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink." And Moses took the rod from before the Lord, as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, "Hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock?" And Moses lifted up his hand with his rod, he smote the rock twice, and the anger came abundantly, and the water came abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beast also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, "Because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. And this is the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel strove with the Lord, and he was sanctified in them." A very familiar portion of the Word of God that we've read many a time, but it never ceases to amaze me, the unbelief, the disbelief, and the unhappiness, and the grumbling of Israel. Hasn't been that long since they were in Egypt, under taskmasters, being whipped, many of them being worked to death for Pharaoh. Now they're free. They've been delivered by a great deliverance. God has sent them a man to deliver them out of the hands of the Egyptians. And here they find themselves. They just had buried Miriam. You know, this is not the first time Israel ever grumbled, complained about things. Miriam complained. Now she winds up, she's dead. And they're out of water. We We begin in verse 2. They're out of water. Water is essential. Without water, they'll die. I think something like 7 days you can live without water. They're out in the desert. There's no water around them. And it looks bad looking from the human standpoint. It always does, son. Always does look at things through human eyes. And there's always questions, and there's always doubt, and there's always worry. But the great God who delivered them and promised to deliver them even on further than this and deliver them into Canaan land is forgotten about, and their first response is to attack Moses. Moses, it's your fault. Always somebody's fault, isn't it? Always somebody's fault. Most times it's not our fault, but you know, always somebody's fault. And since Moses is the leader, he's going to get the brunt of this. Well, Moses, we'd have been better off if we'd have died when the rest of them died. If you just brought us out here to die first, we'd have been better off to die back then. And you brought this whole congregation out here in the wilderness, we and our cattle and our flocks, everything, and everyone is going to die. Now, a person can't really understand that, the emotional part of it, until you know, they've been there. Really hard to understand. I mean, but here they are. And human with human reasoning and all that, their expectation is to die rather than believe God. Now, before we get too rough and too hard on Israel, I want to remind you that though we've not been in a desert, maybe some of you have, I don't know, been without water, you know, we still have our grumbling, don't we? And we still have our complaints against God. And the first thing that man wants to do is just look at the present situation and complain than rather believe and know that God has led us this far. And He'll surely lead us on. He'll surely lead us on till He brings us home one day. And I believe He'll take care of us. We may go through some things, yeah. We'll go through trials and tribulations and all that. But God has promised us heaven. Heaven is ours. And we're being brought there. We're being brought along on our way, not by Moses, but by God Himself, excuse me, who is faithful to His promise. So, Moses has to hear that. Moses hears a lot of things. And I don't think the Bible tells us everything that Moses heard or everything that Moses saw. You know, every detail's not in there. And I tend to believe it was kind of a constant thing that somebody was always saying something and always accusing him of something. Well, why not? He's the leader. Your fault. You're the leader. Your fault. So, Moses, he again is presented with a complaining people, a rebelling people, and He goes to the Lord, which the man of God ought to go to the Lord. You know, people don't need an answer from the man. They need an answer from the Lord. And that's why the leader needs to know the Word of God. The leader needs to know where to take the people in the Word of God. And that's why the leader ought to oftentimes go to the Lord and find out all the answers. Because Moses, you know, he didn't have the answer, did he? Moses didn't. I guess Moses getting thirsty himself. And I don't know what Moses thought about that. I do believe he had faith in the Lord and was trusting in the Lord, unlike these others. But this is what he's faced with. And verse 7 tells us that the Lord spake unto Moses. He didn't speak to everybody else. He spake unto Moses. Moses was the leader. Moses was the man that God chose. Now, don't think for a minute that I'm telling you not to read the Word of God and study the Word of God and that anything you need to know that your pastor can tell you. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is that this leader, Moses, is being led by God. So he's got to go to God to find out what they need to do. And God tells him specifically in verse 8 what to do. God was always specific with Moses. You know, in the tabernacle and all that was in the tabernacle, God was very specific. Every detail about the tabernacle and every detail about serving God, the who's, the why's, the when's, all of that was given from God to Moses. And then Moses then delivers that to the people. Take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. Is there any of us who don't understand what God told Moses? I think I understand that. I think I understand it. He said, take the rod. And then, speak unto the rock before their eyes. And then there's going to be enough water. More than enough water. For 4 million people. And all these thousands and thousands of heads of animals, livestock, everybody will drink. Everybody will live. If you take the rod and speak to the rod. That's what God said. Well, Moses took the rod, it says in verse 9, from before the Lord as he commanded him. He took that rod. That same rod that he lifted up and the Red Sea parted. That same very rod. This time he's going to take that rod and he's going to lift up that rod and speak unto the rock. And they're going to have all the water that they need. That's all he had to do. But Moses is mad. Moses is aggravated. People aggravate you. People make you mad. People make you do things, not make you. Maybe be a reason to do things you wouldn't normally do. And especially a rebellious people, a people that won't believe God, a people that He's got to argue with all the time, that get under your skin. And Moses was aggravated. There's no doubt about it. In verse 10 it says, Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, I guess if he hadn't been mad, he'd have went ahead and spoke to the rock, wouldn't he? But he said unto them, hear ye now, you rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? Now, I'm assuming he means he and Aaron. And I don't know how Moses thinks he and Aaron's going to fetch water out of that rock, but I don't think that's going to happen. God said He was going to fetch water out of the rock. God said He was going to do it. You see, this is all about God. Shouldn't be about Moses. Even though Moses maybe had a right to be aggravated, I guess he did. But it got him in trouble. Got him in trouble. I'll tell you, people are not going to believe except God enable them to believe. People are not going to have great faith except God give them great faith. People are not going to do great things except God enable them to do great things. Sometimes pastors forget that. Sometimes they forget that maybe the people that they pastor are not always going to do what they want them to do, and maybe what they think God wants them to do. I think that's going to happen in this life. But we can't afford to get mad. And that's not just pastors, that's parents, grandparents, or whoever we might be. We can't afford to get mad when people aren't doing what we'd like to see them do and what we know the Bible teaches that they ought to. We just can't get mad over that. I'll tell you, it'll come back to bite you if you do. So, he scorns these people. How? Hear now, you rebels. You that go against God. You that won't listen to God. Must we fetch water, water out of this rock? I believe this rock is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the rock. We know in that rock flows that living water that is necessary for spiritual life. And He's the rock, and all who come to the rock will have life and have never-ending water. You remember what Jesus told the woman at the well? She said, well, you drink this water that I'm talking about, you'll never thirst again. That went over her head. You know, he was talking about spiritual things. He didn't know what he was talking about. But he's talking about himself. I'm thirsty right now for water. But I'll never thirst again trying to find spiritual life somewhere. Because I've been to the rock, and you've been to the rock, and you know what I'm talking about. And the whole situation here, when we investigated, it reveals to us that we have a type of the Lord Jesus Christ and life in Him. And Moses, instead of being mad, should have been more concerned about lifting up his Savior there in this type of water coming from this rock. Well, Moses lifted up his hand with his rod and smote the rock twice. And this is where he got in trouble. This is where he got in trouble with the Lord. And if you think for a minute that the types of the Lord Jesus Christ don't mean anything, then you pay attention to what happens in this story. He smote the rock twice. In Isaiah 53, the foretelling of the crucifixion of our Savior, it says in verse 4, "Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, afflicted." Now, when Moses took that rod and smote that rock twice, not only once, but twice, he was portraying the wrong picture. He was even giving another gospel. And we know what Paul said about those who would preach another gospel. Consider them anathema. There is no other gospel. God, smitten of the Father while hanging on the tree. We see where he elaborated on that in the book of Hebrews in chapter 9. In 26 through 28, "For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself," the rock. "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time, without sin unto salvation." Christ died one time. Just one time. After suffering the wrath of his Father on the tree, he gave up the ghost. And he died. There on the tree, he was smitten one time. It was a one-time offering, excuse me, for the sins of his people. Never again will Christ ever offer himself for sin. All of the elect of all time had their sins paid for in the person of Christ that one time, And that's all that is necessary. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1 says, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of the resurrection of the dead and the eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put Him to open shame. Those who teach that one can be saved and then completely lose that salvation, and then again be saved again, well, you know, Jesus did that one time. He just did that one time. Therefore, it's impossible for those for whom He died to be unsaved, to be lost again. And likewise, it's impossible for those, they say He didn't die for everybody, well, or they say He died for everybody. Well, the Bible says He's going to die one time. And He did die one time. And He made one sacrifice. So Moses breaks the type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, God being merciful, sends forth that water. That it wasn't just a trickle of water. It was a gushing amount of water. Came out of that rock. And they lived, didn't they? They lived. And, you know, just a casual onlooker, and somebody doesn't read the whole thing, might think, well, you know, Moses didn't do exactly what God told him, but it worked. You and I need to be concerned about what God exactly told us. And close enough, over on the west side in a horseshoe game, that might be good enough. I'll tell you what, we better have it right. Better have it right. Now, we have those in our day and time who will tamper with the ordinances and not give it a thought. I guess they've never read this story. Next time I come across a grape juicer, I'm going to ask him if he ever read this story. You know, whole time I was pastor, as far as I know, not knowingly, did I ever have someone who used grape juice to preach? Never asked him. Didn't want to ask him. It didn't bother me a bit not to ask him. He saw over the little thing like that's no little thing. That's no little thing. What is the Lord's Supper? It's a type, it's a picture of the sinless blood and the sinless body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you mess with that. You change that. And you've committed a great sin, and a sin great enough that it's worthy of disfellowship, in my opinion. Some people don't go that far. You know, we only have two ordinances. We can surely keep two of them right now. We don't have 150 or something. Get two. Lord's Supper and baptism. But, you know, they say, people, well, you can take grape juice and it'll do the same thing. No, it won't. It'll eliminate people from taking the Lord's Supper. You can't take the Lord's Supper with grape juice. It's not the Lord's Supper. Neither are crackers and go to the store and buy a loaf of bread. Fermented wine and unleavened bread are the elements, the only elements, the elements that Jesus said to do in practice with His apostles, and told them to keep doing that, and they have up to this very hour, except some have rebelled. Kind of like when Israel didn't like that manna anymore. Let's try something else. Well, I'll tell you what, it'll get you out of whack as far as fellowship. I believe it'll eliminate you from the bride of Christ. Some people, churches may have everything else right and they want to have grape juice. God was specific. I can't say that word. Specific. Exact in how the Lord's people are to serve. Now one might say, well, that's kind of a rough statement to say that you can't take grape juice and be in the bride of Christ. Well, I guess that is rough. But I don't think anybody can prove me wrong. Wasn't it kind of rough what the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in verse 12? That was rough, wasn't it? Moses, this great leader that has done thus too far as God had commanded him to do. Look how rough this is. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believe me not, to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Now you could tell a grape juicer the same thing, can't you? You don't believe God. And they'll argue, oh yeah, I believe God. I just don't think we ought to use wine. Well, you don't believe God. And you want to make God a liar and you want to make the Word of God a joke. Where we read in Corinthians that they drank wine and got drunk. A person had to be foolish to think that they got drunk on grape juice. I probably drank a whole gallon of grape juice yesterday. I didn't get a bit tipsy. Well, Moses, because you believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, all that we do, we are to sanctify the Lord. All that we do as a church, we're to build up the Lord and we're to show forth the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified, the gospel according to the Scriptures. He says, therefore, ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them.
That's hard, isn't it? This book's a hard book when it comes to the flesh. It's a hard book.
Easy book when you're led by the Spirit of God and you have a great desire to follow God and be faithful to God. In Deuteronomy 34, we see that end. And Moses went up from the plains of Moab under the mountain of Nebo to the top of Pisgah, that is over against Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan, and all Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah unto the utmost sea. God took him up on that mountain. Now, nobody's doubting the great job Moses did. But he didn't believe God. And this one time when he was to show that life was in Christ, and that this living water flowed from him, he rebelled. And the Lord said unto him, "This is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine own eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither." Moses didn't go into the promised land. Saul? God took him up there and showed him there. But he wasn't allowed to go in. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab according to the word of the Lord. It's serious business to serve the Lord. Serious. And I'll tell you, people need to have the mind that they have united with the Lord's church who is bound. Bound by the Word of God to keep the Lord's statutes and serve Him just as He said. And he buried him in the valley in the land of Moab over against Beth-Peor. But no man knoweth of his sepulcher unto this day. Took him up, buried him by himself. God did. Moses was 120 years old when he died, and his eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Moses was no more. And here's all these people crying. Oh, we can't lose Moses. What are we going to do without Moses? On and on, weeping, crying. And all that. Man they should have listened to. A man they should have learned from. My lands, if God would kill Moses, we better straighten up, and we better do what God says. We better be faithful. We better quit complaining. God has shown us. No. Time and time and time again, all the way through the Old Testament, see him doing the same thing. over and over and over. Worshipping false gods. Following after the ways of men. Saying that things are right in their own eyes. On and on they go. Well, with men, seemingly, things just aren't that important. Just not that important. As long as we get close, we'll be all right. As long as it has a semblance of what it used to be, we'll be all right. That's one thing the Bible never teaches us, is that there's coming a day in this age where everything is going to change and churches will do just whatever they want to do. There's not a hint of that in the Bible. Commandments given to churches in Paul's day are the same commandments. Commandments given to Moses are the same commandments. And we don't need to be looking for a change. We need to be searching for truth to get it right. To get it right. And there's nothing wrong if you've been doing something wrong for a long time to get it right. Ain't nothing wrong with that. It's what we ought to do. Get it right. And do what the Lord says. Father, we come in Jesus' name thankful.